They'll give them less than 4 cups of wine.
We're up to Kuftet Amid Bet, like you said. And we're looking at the two dots, which are about, I'd say, 9 or 10 lines down from the top. And we're quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lo yifketu lo me arba kosel shel yayin. The Mishnah says that we have to guarantee that everyone, even the poorest of the poor, will be equipped with 4 cups of wine. So the Gemara is going to analyze this mitzvah of Dalid Kosos from two different perspectives. First, from the perspective of Sakana, namely that there's a certain amount of danger in drinking 4 cups of wine, and we'll see exactly why in a minute. And secondly, from the perspective of how much money has to be spent in order to guarantee that we have the wine. So let's go one by one. First, the Gemara says the following: Hechi mitakni rabbanan midi di asi ba liday sakana. How could the rabbanan make a takana that could lead a person to endanger his life or her life? Now, what's so dangerous about drinking 4 cups of wine? Especially if you go with the poskim who say that you're allowed to drink grape juice. That's certainly, I mean, again, it might not be so healthy for your blood sugar level, but it's not pikuach nefesh.
You're not allowed to drive afterwards.
So. Right. Hopefully no one's driving after the Seder, although Hayu Dvar Me'olam, you're saying. So the answer to this is a sugya right here in Pesachim, which we're going to skip, which is called Zugos. Zugos means that we want to avoid... what's Paris. It called?
Paris.
Yeah, Paris. Is that the word that you'd use in English?
Even
numbers. Right? Is that the same as Paris?
No,
there's multiples of two.
They use Paris in the book, but then they talk about even numbers, so they use both.
Okay, whatever it is, it means anything that has a 2 or a 4 or a 6 or an 8, that's called Zugos. And somehow the spooks, the shadim, have a way of zapping you if you get involved in Zugos. But again, Rabosai, what underlies this kasha, this question of the Gemara, the premise that underlies this kasha, is a halachic premise. What do I mean? That you're not drinking one cup and then another cup and then another cup, and then another cup. You're drinking 4 cups of wine.
Or 2 and 2.
Right? Or 2 and 2. So, Vatanya, we have a brisa, lo yochel adam trei. A person should not eat double of anything, because once you eat double of anything, it's called zugos. Lo yishta trei, he should not drink 2 of the same thing. Lo yikaneach trei, even when he's in the bathroom, he has to avoid wiping himself twice. Lo yaset tzrachav, and he shouldn't have relations with his wife twice. Again, it doesn't mean he can't have multiple relations, but they got to be an odd number. So if he wants to have 3, that's okay.
Twice what? Same night, Julie.
So that's not clear. What unites the two? You know, what's the time frame? And in the same thing, that's what the Gemara is going to analyze now. What's the time frame for the Dalit Kosos? Aren't they separated, or are they one unit? So I don't know. Michael's saying maybe in one night, maybe that's enough to consider it as Zugos. I don't know. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Kra, the only reason the Chazal were able to make this takana of drinking 4 cups of wine is because of a pasuk. And the pasuk tells us that this is called Leil Shimurim. The Torah says that this is the night in which God protects you. And not only does God protect the Jewish people when they leave Mitzrayim on that particular year and that particular night, but it's for all generations. It's something inherent in that date, in that time period, which gives us Shmira Min HaMazikin. And all these Shadim and Mazikim, these powers and forces of evil that try to upset us and damage and harm us, are totally neutralized on this night of Shimurim. Rava says no. Rava says there's another reason why we don't have to worry about Zugos. Because the third cuss separates the, you know, the fourth cup from itself, meaning now the third cup is linked up to the first two, and it neutralizes the zugos problem that's inherent in the first two. And why, what's so special about the third cup that it has the power to neutralize the first two, and then you're left with one at the end, is koshel bracha. Because the third kos is the kos of birkas hamazon. And a koshel bracha has a special status with regard to zugos. It's mitztarif l'tova. It's almost as if after you drank the second kos, you know, the mazikim are ready to attack you. But what happens? You protect yourself against the mazikim by drinking a third cup. Why a third cup? After all, you drank two cups, and now the mazikin, you know, they put up your dukes, you know, they got their boxing mask on. But the answer is because the third cup is a koshel bracha. And the power of a koshel bracha is that it's mitztaref l'tova, v'eino mitztaref l'ra. That it links up to add an extra element of protection l'tova, rather than link up with the fourth cup to make it into zugos again. That would be a mitztaref l'ra. Just give me one more minute, because otherwise I'm going to go bananas here, because I want to get to the next line in the Gemara, which I believe is the right answer to this question. The right answer to this question, I believe, personally, if I could add my own prejudice, is Ravina. Ravina says you're not drinking four cups. That's not what's going on over here. Ravina Omar Arba Kosi Tekinu Rabbanan Derecherus. It's true that you have to drink four cups, but you're not really drinking four cups. You're drinking one, 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 and one. Kol Chad V'Chad, and here we're turning to Daf Kuf Yud, L'mitzvah B'Ape Nafshe. It's a mitzvah unto itself. Every single cup is justified by its particular mitzvah. The first cup is the kos of Kiddush. The second cup is a kos shel Magid, because when you thank Hashem and express gratitude, you do a cup of wine. The third cup is a Birkas HaMazon cup. The fourth kos is the Hallel kos. Every kos is an entity unto itself. It's a self-generated obligation based on the bracha. And whatever the nature of that bracha is, whether it's a bracha of Kiddush, whether it's a bracha of Magid, etc., etc., it requires its own kos. And in effect, we make a bracha, at least Ashkenazim do, Asfarim have a slightly different minhag, but we make, as Ashkenazim, we make a bar pri agafen to each one of the four kosos, which means that each kos is being drunk in and of itself. And therefore, there's no problem with zugos. So, Michael, getting back to your question, what's the time frame for zugos? So I can't answer your question, but what I can tell you is that if there's a conceptual separation, we're not talking about time. In fact, who remembers we had back on Daf Kuf Ches the possibility that you could drink four cups, one after the other, sequentially, and you would still fulfill at least one dimension of the mitzvah. Right, you yotze the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, not the mitzvah of Derech Herus, and so forth and so on.
But Arba Lashon Shel Geula means that
each cup represents a different Lashon of Geula. You're right. Intuitively, I would have said it with your way. There are four Lashonos of Geula, and that unites them into one entity. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's how the Gemara understood it before Ravina came along. And if it's one entity of four Kosos, number four, buddy, is a very dangerous number, because it's a pair number or an even number, whatever you want to call it. Comes along Ravina with revolution, and he says, no, it's not four cups of wine. We make the mistake. It's really one, 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 and one. And each cup stands on its own with its own personality, its own character, generated by its own mitzvah and its own chiyuv. Go ahead, I just wanted to see the whole picture. I was so eager to get to Ravina, because that's what I think is the real answer to this.
I was just going to mention the earlier sugya by Seva does pair them. In other words, that whole machlokes, if a Seva is with the first two or with the second two, and there you have the pairing of the cups.
Yes and no. Right. I think what the Gemara means before is that historically we have a period of time in which we're focused on the past Geula, and then we have historically a period of time in which we thank Hashem for the future Geula. But I still think that Ravin is right in saying that each kos is a bracha unto itself.
I'm not saying that Ravin is wrong, but I would say that that sugya seems to suggest that there is pairing. In other words, there's a particular theme to one and two.
I think it's a historical pairing. Okay. Do you follow what I'm saying? Meaning, you want to lean, right? You want to recline. When should you recline? Should you recline when you're re-experiencing the old geula? Should you be reclining when you're anticipating the ultimate geula? And that's a valid issue, but it in no way contradicts Ravina's premise that underlies the fact that kol chad v'chad mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Rabbos, I just want to add one point. I'm a big fan of Ravina here in this sugya, but I have one kash on Ravina. The Avudram says that we should be making a bracha asher kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lishtos arba kosos. And he's baffled as to why such a bracha was not established. And he says, v'im tomer, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanon. But what are you going to do with Ner Chanukah? What are you going to do? And then he says, and what about Morar b'zman hazeh? On the night of the Seder, we make a brach on that. So, Minei Ubei, we see we make a brach on a Drabbanon. Why is Dalet Kosos inferior to Marar or any other mitzvah Drabbanon for which the Chazal established a brach? And he goes ahead and he says the following. There's a technical problem with that brach, and that's why the Drabbanon could not institute it. Every Birchas HaMitzvah has to be over Lasiyos, which means that immediately after the bracha you fulfill the mitzvah. Now again, it may take you hours to fulfill the mitzvah, but immediately afterwards you are involved in a continuum, like bedikas chametz. You know, if you do a good job, it might take you hours, but you never break up the bedikas chametz. So again, it's not a matter of how long it will take you to do a mitzvah, it's a matter of the fact that the mitzvah is not broken up into parts. He has a big problem with Sviras HaOmer, because he says Sviras HaOmer is one mitzvah, 49, and therefore there should be one bracha, and how could you have one bracha? The bracha is only smucha to the first counting, not to the other 48 days, and so forth. So he says you have a technical problem. This is what's in American basketball, they go like this. A technical foul. Is that true for every country? I don't know. Is this like an international thing or just an American thing? Yeah?
Time out.
So in basketball, it's a foul, I think, or something. Anyway, my knowledge of... So now we have a technical foul. What's the technical foul? Says the Avudraham, after I make the bracha, if there were a bracha, over the first kus, I have a hefsek between the first kus and the second kus. And therefore, thank you, I cannot make a bracha over Lasiyos. But I don't get it. According to Ravina, if each kus is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, then I immediately fulfill that mitzvah when I drink the kus. So let me make a bracha on the first kus, drink the kus, etc., etc., etc. From the very fact the Avudram has to integrate all four kosos under one bracha, and that he's not able to do for technical reasons, because after the first kos he has to say Magid, and after the second kos he has to eat the Suda, and after he eats the Suda he recites the third and drinks the third kos. Now he has to have the Hallel and so forth and so on. Therefore, there's no way that you can construct a bracha on all four kosos. That works with the premise that all four kosos form one individual, indivisible mitzvah. And that's not Ravina. Now, I was thinking that, Binyamin, you're actually the source for what you said before about Dal Lashonis of Geula. It's not in the Bavli, it's in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi offers a whole bunch of different explanations for why we drink four kosos of Yayin. Like, for example, four kosos of Parodios and four kosos of Geula. And a whole bunch of reasons. What's common to all the reasons is the number four, which seems to indicate that there's one unit of four, which is probably the way the Gemara understood Dalet Kosos before Ravina came along. Comes along Ravina and says, no, it's not four, it's not one unit, it's 1, 1, 1. So the Yerushalmi, you're right, would probably not be happy with Ravina, because the four is critical. Like, let me ask you the following question. According to Ravina, let's say I drink three out of the four Kosos, then I run out of wine, whatever the case may be. So for sure, I was mekayim those three kosos. Each kosos is a mitzvah unto itself, right? Kol chada v'chada. What's his language? Mitzvah be'ape nafshehi. But if you go with the Avodah's approach, that all four kosos, and that might be the Havmin of Hagemara before Ravina, that all four kosos are integrated to form one whole, one entity called four, then, okay, we'll give you brownie points for drinking three out of the four kosos, but you certainly didn't fulfill the mitzvah. If a guy puts tzitzis on three out of four of knafos, with all due respect, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. It's four or bust. But the Ravina is saying, no, each one is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, which is good news for someone who doesn't have four cups. At least he can get whatever he can get. Then the Gemara says the following. Lo yasa trochov tre. Amai. He's not allowed to have a relationship with his wife twice, because twice is zugos. Funny. There's a pun over here. Zugos, right? Amai. He says, why is that such a sakon of zugos? Nimlachu. What's nimlach?
He stopped and he started again.
Correct. And how do we know he stopped and he started again? Again, I don't want to go into graphic detail, but he already finished what he had to finish on the first relationship, if you follow what I mean. Does everybody know what I mean? Right? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Because, you know, when it comes to Torah, you have to be clear. But I'm trying to be tzanua about it, right? So, he fulfilled his desire and his pleasures on the first round. And stop! Now he has a new desire on the second round. And he, again, arouses his body, gets aroused for a second round. That's a separation between the first and the second. Now, again, Michael's going to ask me how much of a time frame, and I don't know the answer to that question, but what I can tell you is that there is a natural stop that separates the first from the second. Omar Abai says, you know what? We have to reinterpret this whole brisa about not having a double intercourse. He says, no, what does it mean? Hachikoma. Lo yochal trei v'yishte trei, v'lo yase tzrochov afilu pamachas. After he drinks twice or eats twice, that's not the proper moment for having this relationship. Now, you and I might say, well, that's for biological reasons, maybe. You know, he's full, or he's this, or he's that. But what the Gemara is saying is, Dilma Chalish, as a result of the fact that he drank two, who's after him after the two? The mazikim, right? The mazikim, because he violated the zugos. So at that point, he's very weak. And if he's weak, then that's not a good time for tashmish hamita. He's going to get even weaker as a result of tashmish hamita. And therefore, it's not going to be a healthy kind of thing. So again, according to this Gemara, there's no problem in finishing up once and starting again, but not after you've eaten double a pair of whatever you ate or whatever you drank.
So you can't have two Viennas or four Viennas. You have to one, three, or five. Is that what we're saying?
Beer?
No, Viennas. You know, sausages.
Oh, sorry.
When is the house? Okay. How far down the...
No two sausages.
You have to count the number of peas you eat?
I don't know if all the peas form one entity. I don't know. I'd love to say.
I don't eat peas.
How many grains of rice? Okay. But wait a second. There is good news that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, if you just hold on for one minute. Let's see. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Shoseh Kiflayim, if he drinks two, Domo Barosho. He's putting his life into danger. It's like a suicide case. Om Rav Yehuda Emasai, when does this apply? Bizman Shalora Pnei Hashuk. If he didn't take a break between the first drinking and the second drinking. So he had a... what's your favorite beer? Give me a name of a company.
Maccabi.
Shapira.
Okay, I thought you were going to give me some German name or something. Okay,
I don't like them all, but you know.
What?
Whatever I'm
not. All right, you're not particular.
Okay.
Fine. So he took a beer, and then he went out for a spatzir, out in the shuk, and then he came back and he had another beer. That's fine. Rav Pnei Ashuk or Rishus B'yod. Then he's allowed to drink a second cup. Om Rav Ashi, Chazino Leil, Rav Chananya Bar Bibi, the ochal kasa, and havi nofik v'chazi api shuka. In other words, every cuss that he drank, he went out to the shuk between each kus in order to guarantee that there would be no attack from zugos. Oh, but now the Gemara says the following. V'lo amoron, when are we choshesh for the hezek of zugos? Ela latzeis l'derech. It means after he ate the two, what did you call them, Michael? Sausages?
Viennas.
Viennas, they call. He ate two Viennas, and now he wants to go out to the derech. You know, he's going out for a trip to Tefrat. You know, that's already not kedai. Aval bebeso, if he's staying at home, so he doesn't have to count the sausages, the Viennas, the peas, he's okay. Low. Omrav zera v'lishon. I have another problem. The man wants to eat zugos. He's not going out on a trip, but he's going to sleep. Is kilotzeis l'derech dami? When a person's asleep, there's an extra power, and you require extra care from the zugos. Amar papa v'lotzeis l'beis hakisei kilotzeis l'derech dami. Again, in those days, going out to the beis hakisei was a whole thing. It was dangerous. It was complicated. Now the Gemara says u'beis so low. Your entire premise here that in your house you're allowed to have pears, right? And the whole case of Osa Tzracha before was because it was after he ate and so forth and so on. He says, Varava, why don't we follow Rava? He's the leader. Follow the leader. Manik Shure, he would, as he was drinking, he would count the beams on his roof to make sure that he kept a cheshbon of how many drinks he had, so that he would know that every time he drank something, he counted another one of the beams to get to an odd number rather than an even number. Abai ki shasichad kasa. Abai would be makbid that when he drank a kus. Mankit le ime. Abai was born without parents. His father died while he was a fetus, and his mother died at childbirth. So he was raised by ime means umnato, meaning a maidservant or whatever. And she would be very careful. Trei kasi basre yode. She would always have another two cups of the same drink to make sure that after he drank one cup, he would certainly drink another two, ending up with the number three, because three is an odd number, not an even number. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Avishasi trei kasi minkit le shame. He would be held up by his shamash, and to make sure that that chad kasa after he drank one, and then chad kasi would drink another, and mankit le trei kasi betray yadi, and he would make sure that he would hold on to another two kosos in his other two yadayim to feed, to make sure to give drink to Rav Nachman, so that he should end up with three. So you see that even in your bias, you still have to be makpid on zugos. And the Gemara says, no. Adam chashuv shayni. Fascinating. The powers of the mazikin are increased. If what? If you're an adam chashuv. In other words, you and I would say, wait, an adam chashuv has the protection of Torah? No. The mazikin want to attack an adam chashuv. This is Gemara Psach. The Gemara says the Talmud Chacham should not go alone in the streets at night because the mazikin wouldn't get a hold of him. So these cases of Abaye, Rava, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, those are not the rule, but rather the exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule is that even in your house you have to be makbid on zugos. If what? If you are an adam chashuv. Now from here until Kuf Yud Beis, if you'll flip to Kuf Yud Beis, is zugos and other dini mazikin. So I'm going to skip that because I don't know beans about mazikin and zugos. So let's see if we could find the words vafilu minatamchui. It's about in the wide lines. It's about line 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that even if an ani is so poor that in order to get food on his table he has to take money from the community chest, which is called a tamchui, nevertheless he has to sell the garment, the talis off his back, or he has to rent himself for some sort of cheap labor in order to make enough money to purchase arba kosos. In other words, if the tzedakah funds are there and they're available, fine. But if there are no tzedakah funds, then he's going to have to sell the shirt off his back in order to purchase Dalit Kosos. And I don't understand what's going on here, honestly. The Gemara says Pshita. Pshita. Pshita means that it's understood, it's obvious that you have to lower yourself and humiliate yourself for the sake of a mitzvah, for any mitzvah. Yeah, there's only one problem. We have a principle in mitzvahs that al yivazbez yosef mi chomesh, that the maximum amount of money you have to spend for a mitzvah is 20% of your income. This poor guy doesn't have money to buy a shirt. He's got one shirt that you're telling him to sell the shirt off his back. Isn't that worth more than 20% of his assets? I don't know what the Gemara means here by Pshita. I don't even understand why, for the sake of Dalit Kosos, you would obligate anybody to sell the shirt off his back. Makes no sense to me. Lo Tzricha, oh, we're going to get to that. Just hang in there for a minute. See, the trouble with you, Aaron, is that I try to build up to a punchline. You already know the punchline. No, it's okay. Lo Tzri Nitzricha, we don't need this din. Ella, Afil Rabbi Akiva. The reason why we need this Chiddush is because of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva makes a statement about Kvod Shabbos. Let's say, for example, you're a poor person, and in order to support a Kvod Shabbos, you're going to have to beg and borrow from your neighbors, you know, give me a handout. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's not what you do. Asei Shabbat Chachol, even if it means you wear the same clothing and eat the same food that you eat during the week because you can't afford anything more expensive, make your Shabbos into a day of Chol. Forfeit the mitzvah of owning Shabbos. Forfeit the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. V'altitztarech lebrios. And don't force yourself or thrust yourself upon the other creatures, upon the other people that are going to have to dig into their pocket in order to support your mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. And the Gemara thinks that, according to Rabbi Akiva, a person doesn't have to humiliate himself for the sake of Kvod Shabbos and owning Shabbos by collecting from others as an ani who knocks on doors to collect tzedakah. And therefore the Gemara thinks that in the case of Dalit Kosos, like the case of Kvod Shabbos, and by the way, Kvod Shabbos might even be Doraisa, whereas Dalit Kosos is certainly no more than a Drabbanon, how much more so would Rabbi Akiva say that he doesn't have to humiliate himself for the sake of Dalit Kosos? And the Mishnah has to be Machadish, a Chiddush that's Gevaldig here, an unbelievable Chiddush, that even Rabbi Akiva, who says, Asei Shabbat Chachol Ve'altitztarech Lebrios, would agree that in this case, he's got to humiliate himself for the sake of Dalit Kosos. Why? What is so unique about Dalit Kosos? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Persume Nisa. Now, according to some gifts, it says Modeh, which means even Rabbi Akiva is Modeh, that he has to humiliate himself for the sake of Persume Nisa. Salocha Lamaisa comes out that, let's say, I have to hear the Megillah, if I have to light Ner Chanukah, or I have to drink Dalit Kosos. And what's common to all those mitzvahs d'rabbanan? They all have the kiyum of what? Persume Nisa, to publicize God's miracle. I would have to even sell the shirt off my back and go panhandle and ask for tzedakah money, or alternatively, I'd have to clean the streets or whatever the melacha bezuya in order to eke out the basic monies that I need for those mitzvahs. Why? Because of Persume Nisa. What is so special about Persume Nisa that seems to trump all the laws and all the rules that we know about, like Rabbi Akiva's rule on tzedarech lebrios, asei shabbat chachol? We don't humiliate a person. Chazal say, Gemara Bava Metzia, that humiliating a person is almost like murdering a person. You know, his face turns red like he's dead. So the only answer I could give, Rav Osai, and again, if somebody has a better answer, I'm always eager to hear it, is that there's one mitzvah that's more important than life itself, and that's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, a person has to be willing to give up their lives. What's the connection now between Pirsa Vanes and Kiddush Hashem? that Kiddush Hashem is so great, it trumps everything. V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyom espem, except Kiddush Hashem. Don't humiliate yourself except for Kiddush Hashem. Don't make yourself into a pauper except for Kiddush Hashem. It breaks all the rules. That's the nature of Kiddush Hashem. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol levavcha. Why is Pirsum HaNes a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem? And I believe the answer is that to publicize God's miracle, that's what Kiddush Hashem is all about. When a person makes a declaration and a demonstration that there's a God up there, and He is not just up there, but He's down here, and He steps in to intervene in Jewish history to save the Jewish people, whether it's from Haman, as we'll have next week, whether it's from Paro, in the case of Dalit Kosos, we'll have a month later, whether it's from the Greeks who were putting us, in all these cases, we're saying that history is not just what it is. Again, you ask the historians and they'll tell you, well, history is like a science. It's like the law of gravity. Everything is cause and effect. But what they fail to agree to and admit to is another element into the equation, the variable of divine intervention. And that's the greatest Kiddush Hashem, when a person could stand up and declare there's more to life than what meets the eye. And even though everything that we see is behelim ubehester, but there's something that's greater than what you see, and that's called... And that's called Hashem's intervention.
Tells him that the Rebbe used to not eat his bread from Wednesday to Friday, so that he would have lechem mishneh on Shabbat. And I took food.
You're talking in the Holocaust? Or?
In the Holocaust.
Oh, in the Holocaust. Yeah, you didn't mention that, but I figured that's what you meant.
In the Holocaust. Yeah. And how you did for the wine, that he'd have it on Pesach, what he went through.
Right.
It's also says Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem. Tana Debei Elio. It's very interesting. Usually we don't derive halachas from Elio Anavi, but I guess in some cases we can do that. Afal pisha omar Rabbi Akiva say Shabbat chachol ve'al titztarech lebrios. Aval osu hu dover muat betoch beso. He cannot go to an extreme and take Rabbi Akiva at face value, and his seventh day is exactly identical to the other 6 days of the week. He's got to make some sort of basic change. He's got to do a dover muot, betok beso, l'kvod Shabbos. Umay ninhu, give me an example of a dover muot. Omer av papa, kasa daharsana. They used to take small fish and they would fry it in oil. And if they could, they would add kemach, they would add some sort of a flour to it. Now, this is a really cheap dish because dogim ktanim, you can go to any pond, and if you have a net, you know, you can take up, you know, these dogim ktanim. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he adds shemen. Shemen is not an expensive commodity if he uses only a small amount. And if he has to add a little kemach, and this is going to be his banquet, you know, for Shabbos. But what the important thing is that he made a change. Mm-hmm. Shabbos has to be nikar. There has to be some change. And the Gemara says kidisnan, and the Mishnah says that sometimes you have to push yourself beyond your limits. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamomer have az kinomer. You have to be strong like a leopard, which means you have to be machazik yourself even beyond your capabilities and push yourself in order to be machabi the Shabbos. And if it means that you're going to have to fish out these small little pieces of fish and fry them in oil, that's what you're going to have to do to make the Shabbos a little bit different. And you have to be Kal Kinesher. Kal Kinesher means the ability to fly, so to speak, like a Nesher, like an eagle. In other words, sometimes there are problems that you're facing in life and barriers, and you have to overcome them. And you have to be Kal Kinesher, Ratz Kitzvi. You know, you have to energize yourself. Sometimes you have to run away from your enemies. And Gibar Kari, you have to overcome your Yetzahara like a lion. Like Chazal say that the Jews have the ability to wake up in the morning for davening, even when it's cold out, you know, and you know, you'd rather sleep, you know, and get a little extra sleep, a little after shluff under the very warm blankets. It's a cold winter morning, but Ratz Kitzvi, Gibar Kari, Lasos Ritzon Avicha Sheva Shamayim, and that's what it's all about. Now, we have to skip another two blot, because now we have two blot about Mazikin. So, I don't know beans about Mazikin, And now we have to learn the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yudal. There actually are two Mishnahs on Daf Kuf Yudal. We're going to start with the first Mishnah. And now we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty Leil HaSeder. Mazgulo Kos Rishon. Now, there are two ways of interpreting the word Mazgulo. The simple pshat is they pour the first kos, and that's going to be the kos of Kiddush, and that's going to be the first of the Dalit Kosos. Another pshat of Mazgulo, which I heard from my Rebbe in the Rambam Shita, is that you have to dilute the wine. They started with very concentrated wine, and we've had this before back on Daf Kuf Ches about Yayin Chai. It's not very tasty, and therefore you have to dilute it with water, not over dilute it, and that's called Mezika. There's a minute, by the way, as you know, is that one person is mosaic the coast for somebody else. That's also considered like Derech Cherus. And the Rambam goes on to say that the Mezika, which means to add water to the concentrated wine, should be relative to each individual. Ketamo shel kol echad v'echad, which means, I don't have the Rambam here in front of me, but the Rambam means to say that you might like a certain percentage, a certain ratio of wine and water, and I like a different ratio. So it makes sense that somebody would walk around the Seder table and ask somebody, what wine do you like? Because it's got to be, oh, that's the language. The Rambam's language is shti. Also, areva olav. Areva means it's very pleasant to him. So this, for me, by the way, is personally a problem because my dietary restrictions are such that I'm supposed to be drinking wines that I hate. I shouldn't use that word. That's a terribly harsh word. But I've tried for decades, you know, to develop a taste for these dry wines, and I don't know. If somebody has a method, I still have not succeeded. And I drink it mamish l'shem shamayim, you know, for the sake of who shmart them. Because I have to avoid sugars and this, that, and the other thing. So I don't know what I should do on the Leil HaSeder. Maybe I should make an exception to the rule.
Why do you drink dry wine?
Dry wine has no added sugars to it. All the wines that, not all the wines, but most of the wines that you drink, like Condito or Muscat or what's it called? Moscato, whatever it's called.
Concord.
Yeah, they all have additional sugars, and grape juice is like pure sugar. Like, that's the worst thing for your blood sugar level. You drink a cup of grape juice, it goes right into your blood. The scientists have proved that even before the wine goes, before the grape juice goes down to the bottom, you're already shaken up. You know, you start palpitating. You know, say, I don't know if you ever heard of a diet called South Beach Diet. Have you ever heard of it in America? Yes. At some point, it was like the diet. So I think the physician who actually authored that book was called Agustin, if I'm not something like that. Anyway. No, not Atkins. That's a different diet. That's a dangerous diet. South Beach is not dangerous. Again, you might jump off a roof because you're not eating enough, but it's not dangerous. So he tells a story about one of his clients. He's a heart doctor who had very high blood sugar levels, very dangerous, and he was able to control it through dieting. And then he hadn't seen this guy in a month. He came back a month later feeling awful. And the doctor drilled him. What happened the last month? He says, I drink 4 cups of Tropicana orange juice daily. He convinced himself that was healthy. Tropicana orange juice is like pure sugar, and it goes right into your bloodstream. So as soon as the doctor quickly took him off the... Now this doctor was sued by Tropicana, because Tropicana is the name of a company. He should have written orange juice without the word Tropicana.
Did they win?
I think he lost the case, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know, it went to a high court. I don't remember the end of the story.
And in America.
Yeah, this is America. Anyway, what should be the first bracha he makes on the kos? So you and I know that we make a Bar Priya Guf, but that's not really the answer I was hoping for, because Bar Priya Guf really should come down way down the line. What's the name of this kus? The first of the four?
Kiddush.
Kiddush means be Makadish. First recite Kiddush, Makadish es HaShabbos, Makadish es HaZmanim, and then go ahead and make a Bar Priya Guf. And that's the sheet of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is intuitive. Beit Shammai says Mevarich Alayom, which is Mekadesh HaShabbos, in this case Moedim, right?
It's not what we do on Friday night. We do the other way around on Friday night, don't we?
Correct, because of Beis Hillel. The machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is really a Masechta Brachos with regard to every Kiddush. It appears here in Pesachim only because it's relevant to the night of Pesach as well. But it's a universal machlokas in every Kiddush. Beit Shammai says you recite Mekadesh Es Ha Zmanim in this case first, and he gives an explanation. Ayom gorem liyayin shiyovo. Are you going to start your, again, if you're French, you'll give me a different answer to this question. But let's say you're not a Frenchman. Are you going to start your meal with a cup of wine? Maybe yes, maybe no. But on Leil Kiddush, you don't have a choice. You're going to have to start with a cup of wine. And why are you drinking this wine? Why is it compulsory to drink wine? I'm not in the mood for wine. No, you got to drink wine. Why? Because of the Kedushas Hayom. So the Kedushas Hayom is Gorem Liyayin. Again, even if you're a Frenchman and you would drink the wine anyway, but why are you compelled Al Pi Halacha to drink the wine? It's only because of the Kedushas Hayom. So let's start with the Kiddush. Once you have Kiddush, you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kedushas Hayom. Now drink the wine. Make a Bar Pri HaGofen and drink the wine. That's Beit Shammai. I skipped, I'm sorry. I integrated the Gemara into the Mishnah. In the Mishnah itself, it just says, Beit Shammai Omrim Mevarech Al Hayom, V'yachkach Mevarech Al Yayin, Beis Hillel Omrim Mevarech Al Yayin, V'yachkach Mevarech Al Yayin. So the Gemara has a braisa now to explain. Dvarim, Bein, Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel, there are many different machlokasin between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, Be'seudah, meaning Be'hilcha Se'udah. And if you want to learn all the different machlokas in the debates, but as far as Seudah is concerned, you have to learn a sugya Masechta Brachos on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis. But here we're talking about Leil HaPesach, and therefore we're talking about Kiddush. Beit Shammai Yom Mevarech Hayom V'Akach Mevarech Hayayim Nei Shayayim Hayom Gorem Liyayim Sheyova. And he stops here, takes a deep breath, and then he gives a second reason. What's his second reason? Kvar Kiddush Hayom V'Adayin Yayin Lo Ba. After all, it's the twilight, meaning it's after, I should say, the stars came out, right? So now he has a mitzvah of what? Of Kiddush. He doesn't have a mitzvah of Yayin now. The mitzvah of Kiddush is the first, you know, in chronological order, is his first chiyuv. Yayin comes later. So therefore it makes sense to make the brach on that which came first, because with nightfall, he has an obligation of being Mekadesh HaShabbos. Or in this case, Yont. Beis Hillel Omer Mevarech Al Yayin V'Akach Mevarech Al Yom. Why? Mivnei Shayayin Goreim LeKiddush Sheteyomer. Which means that you cannot recite and fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush without Yayin. So Yayin takes precedence because that sets up the possibility for the mitzvah of Kiddush. And all the Mepharshim ask, but if he doesn't want to take Yayin, he can be Mekadesh Al Pas. Okay, so Beis Hillel is going to say that make the Brach of HaMotzilach Menorahs first, and then Mekadesh Es HaShabbos. Why? Because without the Pas, you don't have Kiddush. Then he says, Dover Acher. Beis Hillel say, I'll give you another explanation, another reason why Yayin should come first. Birchas HaYayin Tidira, Birchas HaYomen Tidira, Tadir V'Shein and Tadir Tadir Kona. So since the Yayin comes the whole year round, it's more frequent, therefore that bracha comes first. And we paskin Hilchaso Kedivrei Beis Hillel. We paskin, as we always do, like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai. So the Gemara asks, my Dover Acha, why did Beis Hillel feel compelled to give a second explanation? So Pnei Yeshua points out that the Gemara could have just as well asked the question on Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai gave two explanations. Number one, that what generates the chiyuv of Yayin, why is he drinking Yayin? It's only because of Kiddush. And number two, which came first in the sequence, the chiyuv of Kiddush came first. But the Pnei Yeshua says that now that we're paskening like who? Like Beis Hillel, we want to know why Beis Hillel was compelled to give two explanations. So the Gemara says, "V'chite mahasam." In the case of Beit Shammai, Tarti, Beit Shammai gave two explanations to justify why Kiddush comes first, and then Bar Pri HaGofen is hachem me too. Says Beis Hillel, when I say the Bar Pri HaGofen comes first, is I have to give two explanations. Chada, one explanation, would not be enough. Because since Beis Shammai has the evidence, the weight of the evidence on his side, he's got two explanations. I only have one explanation. Hakinami Tarti Ninu. I have to offer a second explanation of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kode. So the Peyoshua says, why was it that Beis Shammai was compelled to give two explanations? So wait, I stand corrected. It's not the Pnei Yeshua, it's the Tzlach. Okay, just to go on the record, Omer Dov Shem Omer, it's another Yehuda asks this question. Madua Hutzuchu Beit Shammai Liten Shnei Ta'amim L'Kedimas Birchas Hayom. And then as a result, they still would have to give two reasons. He says, Hatama Rishon, the first explanation, Shayach Dafko V'Mekadish Al Yayim, because the Mekadesh al pas lo shayach lo mashekidish gorim lovo shekein chayev b'pas mishum mitzvahs sholosh sudos. In other words, he cannot argue that if you're making kiddush over pas, that the bracha of kiddush should come first before the bracha on pas, because without kiddush there would be no pas. There's no obligation to eat pas, but that's wrong because there's an independent obligation to eat pas because of the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudos. So why could he give the second reason? And that is that the Lila engenders the mitzvah of Kiddush Hayom first. He says, Tam Hasheni Shekiddush Hayom Kodma Eina Shayach Ela B'Mekadesh B'Lila V'lo B'Mekadesh Mibodjom. In other words, let's say he accepted upon himself Kiddush Hayom. What's that called? When you earlier on Tosefes Yontif, so he accepted upon himself Tosefes, and at that point he's not chayv in Kiddush because it's not the Kiddush Sayom itself hasn't set in. He only accepted upon himself the Kiddush Sayom, and therefore the second explanation of Beit Shammai would not be sufficient. Therefore, Beit Shammai needs two explanations. Next Mishnah, Heviu Lefanov. They brought in front, on those days it seems that there was a kara and a shulchan in front of the Baal HaBayis. He's the Masader, he's the Orech HaShulchan, Orech HaSeder. And they bring him yirokos, they bring him two vegetables. The first vegetable is called Tibul Rishon. Tibul means Achila in this case. Later on we'll see that Tibul also means that he dips it into Charoses. And mitabel b'chazeres, he eats chazeres. What's chazeres? Chazeres is chasa, which can be used also for the mitzvah of maror. And it's going to be a whole sugi that we're going to learn. Why would he be tempted to eat maror as the first vegetable? He could have taken any vegetable. But let's say he had no other vegetables around except for the maror. Now it's very odd. He already ate the maror at the beginning of the Seder, and then later he's going to eat the same maror and make a bracha al achilas maror. So there's going to be a whole tumult about this in the Gemara. But in any event, right now he's busy eating chazeres, the first vegetable. And the reason why he's eating this vegetable is to arouse the curiosity of the children. Why are you starting a meal by eating a vegetable? We don't do this kind of a tibul at the beginning of a meal. And this is all before Shemagil Parperes HaPas, until they bring out the matzah, which is called the pas. In other words, he should already be eating the chazeres before they bring out the matzah. That's called parperes hapas. Then a veal of fun of matzah, and now together with the matzah, they're going to bring chazeres, which is no longer just a vegetable. Chasa at this point becomes the mitzvah of maror. And they bring out charoses. Charoses is a whole discussion exactly what it's made of. Maybe we'll have time to discuss that. There are like 16 sheetahs about how to make charoses. But be that as it may, it has to be something that has a certain, like a sour taste to it. And by dipping the horseradish into the charoses with its chamitzus, what's called its chamitzut or kihui, it's going to somehow destroy any kinds of harmful parts, you know, elements in the chazeres. And he brings out the charoses. Then it says shnei tavshilin. So this is what we call zechel karpesa, zechel chagiga, and that's the shnei tavshilin. you know, get the impression by the way that it's not the way we do it, that we have the kara set up with everything on it before we even start. And that's a whole to do, right? It takes a while, and there's different shittas about how to organize an Eimah V'Yirna mitzvahs, but they used to bring it out when you're ready for that mitzvah, when you're up to that point in the Seder. Now, why are they bringing out charoses? So you and I might think that just like there's a mitzvah to eat chazeres, and there's a mitzvah to eat pas, which means matzah, there's a mitzvah to eat maror, there's a mitzvah to eat chazeres. So the Mishnah goes out of its charoses, excuse me. So the Mishnah goes out of its way to say, afal pisha ein charoses mitzvah. But that's not universally accepted. Rabbi Elezer, Barab Tzadik Omer mitzvah. That in fact there is a mitzvah of charoses. And then the Mishnah goes ahead and talks about the Korban Pesach and says, Bamigdash means at the time when the Migdash stood, Hayimavim lefan of gufo shel Pesach. So what I wanted to call to your attention in the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to put the Gemara on the side, is a piece in the Sefer called Harei Kedem. You remember that last time we had this Sefer? And he has a piece here which is called Siman Sadi Dalet, if anyone wants to look it up, called Begeder Mitzvahs Charoses B'Leil HaPesach. And after quoting the Mishnah, which records a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chacham as to whether or not there's a mitzvah to eat charoses, and the Gemara asks later on, what's the mitzvah of charoses according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik? So the Gemara has different opinions. One opinion says it's zeichel etapuach. Another opinion, zeichel etit. Another opinion is that it has to somehow defuse the harmful power of the chazeres. And the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos here on our Mishnah writes, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik Omer charoses mitzvah l'daito chayev odem levarech asher kidshonu mitzvos v'tzivonu al achilas charoses. But he says v'yena halach, we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, and therefore we don't recognize this bracha asher kidshonu mitzvos v'tzivonu al achilas charoses. But one thing we see clearly, that the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos paskins like the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore charoses is not a mitzvah. Had it been a mitzvah, it would have the same status as Mora and Matz, and it would require a bracha unto itself. That's the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos. But now we open up the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. And the Rambam in Perek Zayin Aloch Yid Alef writes, Hacharoses mitzvah midivrei sofrim, zecher letit, shayu ovdim bo b'mitzrayim. And then he gives you a whole story, ketzad osin oso, and what are the various ingredients. And then he concludes by saying, Mevi'in oso al shulchan b'leil ha-pesach. So we have here two shitas. We have the Rambam, you know, the Rambam wrote his Pirush HaMishnayos when he was about 30. He wrote his Mishneh Torah when he was about 60. And he changed his mind. In the Pirush HaMishnayos, in his youth, he was of the opinion that we pass like the Chachamim. But in his Chibur, it seems that he passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. And he requires charoses as a mitzvah. So the Lechem Mishnah says, I don't understand. And furthermore, he asks, if indeed the Rambam in Mishneh Torah passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, that charoses is a mitzvah, then we should certainly be obligated in a bracha. And this we don't find. So on the one hand, the Rambam tells you have to eat charoses, and that's a mitzvah. But on the other hand, the Rambam doesn't mention a word about the brach on charoses. In fact, the Rambam in Perek Ches, Mihilchas Kometz Umatzah, Halacha Vav, writes, Ein mevarchim ela al ha-matzah v'amor bilvad, aval charoses ein aleha bracha b'fnei atzma. So we don't have to do any guesswork, you know, focusing on the Rambam here in Perek Zayin Milchus Chometz Matzah. We just have to fast forward to Perek Ches Milchus Chometz Matzah. The Rambam writes explicitly that there is no bracha on charoses. So Rabbeinu ben Manoach, that's a super commentary on the Rambam, says v'yim yishal hashol b'nei ma'ein mevarcha on charoses. After all, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah d'vrei sofrim. Tia hatshuva, the answer should be l'fi she'eino nechal b'fnei atzmo. You don't eat it on its own. V'hu tofel l'masha adam tovel bo. Basically, what you do is you dip the matzah into the charoset, according to the Rambam. I don't know if anybody here has that minute. You dip the mor into the charoset, but you never have an obligation to eat the mor unto itself. Charoset unto itself. And therefore, the Rambam, l'shitoso, even though he holds it's a mitzvah of charoset, yet there's no mitzvah to eat charoset unto itself, and therefore it doesn't warrant a bracha. Again, this is not the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos says that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, since charoset is a mitzvah, it requires a bracha. So the fact that it's a nechal, to use the language of Rabbeinu Menoach, and it's tofel, in other words, a nechal means it's eaten in the context of something else, but not eaten on its own, that didn't seem to be the logic of the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, because he claims that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, in fact, there would be a bracha on charoset. We never have a mitzvah, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, to eat charoset per se. So it's very strange over here. On the one hand, you have the Rambam in the Chibur who says the charoset is a mitzvah. He explicitly mentions that you don't make a bracha on charoset. On the other hand, the Rambam Pirush Mishnah says that the reason why we don't make a bracha on charoset is because we pass it like the Chachamim and there is no mitzvah of charoset. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, who holds that there is a mitzvah of achilas charoset, you would in fact make a bracha. Rabbeinu Menoach justifies the Rambam in Mishneh Torah that even though charoset is a mitzvah, but nevertheless there's no bracha because you don't eat it per se, but yet the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos maintains that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, since charoset is a mitzvah, you do make a bracha. Everything is clear as charoset. Okay, then we'll stop here because it's time to dab Myron. And Mirz Hashem, what's next week? Is it Tinus Esther next week or something?
Tinus Esther.
So, do we want to meet on Motzei Tinus Esther?
Anybody's doing.
And we're not doing Megillah, right? We're all Yerushalmim.
Yeah.
Or Shushanites, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
So we'll try to go for it. Believe me, I mean, if it can be done.
Wednesday is.